Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network. For the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews, press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Meet the Movie Press. Roundtable movie news and commentary from the industry's premier film journalists.
And good morning, Meet the Movie Press fans. Hello, Jeff Snyder. I am Mark Riley, editor-in-chief of schmoesno.com.
Jeff Snyder, film reporter at therap.com.
How are you guys? Thank you for joining us on this wonderful Friday. As the herd would say, thank you for making us a part of your day. Really appreciate it. I was on the way.
It's a Colin Coward reference right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
We're starting hot.
We're stealing it. And thanks, guys, for all the tweets last night. As you know, I did miss the main show last night. I was sick, but I'm over it now somewhat. But these silky, smoothie tunes coming from my – I like this cold. It just makes me feel very sexy.
Mm-hmm, it's so, working for you.
Yeah, somewhat. But, man, oh, guys, packed show today. I mean, as you guys know, big news broke this week. Huge, huge news. 50 Shades of Grey came out.
Yes, it did. And we're going to talk about it with our guest this week, who is Lindsay Barr from the Associated Press, yeah. Better known as the AP.
AP, yeah. This Lindsay coming in, not only it does two things. One, it legitimizes us.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Guys, this is the AP. This is the big time.
Yeah.
We Her got stuff goes worldwide.
Yeah. She's awesome. Okay. So we're awesome for having her. I mean, it just ups the ante for us.
I feel like I've arrived.
I know. Finally, we get something. But, and two, we actually get some female blood in here.
Yeah. It's been a long time. We kicked off the show with Amy Nicholson from
yeah.
LA Weekly.
Yeah.
I think we've kind of been slacking since then, huh?
Yeah. We had Alicia Malone on.
That's true.
She kind of filled
in. The Malonas.
In. Yeah. Malone and Mance came on from
sure.
Profiles with Malone and Mance. And, but that's the last time, so I'm very excited. And I'm very excited to talk about 50 Shades of Grey. I did not get a press screening. They didn't want Riley there. So.
This was only shown to the elite press.
I guess
they
so. They're like, no, Riley, go in the corner and, write your blog. You know, just get out of here. We don't want you,
I will take you to see it this weekend, Mark.
Oh, really?
Cancel your Valentine's Day plans with your girlfriend.
Yeah, she would love that.
I'm buying.
And I got to hand it to my girlfriend, who absolutely does not want to see 50 Shades of Grey. She wants to see Kingsman.
Oh, that's a cool girlfriend.
Yeah, she's like, no, we're seeing Kingsman. Screw that 50 Shades of Grey. If I want to see porn, let's just order it later.
And I'm wow.
Like, okay.
Does she have a sister?
Yeah, she does, but she's married. Sorry, dude.
All right.
But anyways... we want to start, actually, guys. I don't know if you are aware or follow the broader Meet the Movie Press, the broader press even. We lost a pioneer, I would say.
It's a sad morning, for sure.
David Carr, if you guys aren't familiar, writer for the New York Times, among many other things. I was actually reading his article about Brian Williams, who, as you know, lied about getting shot at in a helicopter. He was
fudged it a bit.
Fudged it a bit. That's a funny thing that we don't need to get into.
Right.
But, yeah, Brian Williams, and then comparing him to Jon Stewart, who's now leaving The Daily Show.
Also sad news, but again, doesn't really compare with the loss of David Carr.
Yeah.
One of the true giants in journalism, one of the most interesting personalities at the New York Times. I think a lot of young journalists like ourselves looked up to him.
I absolutely did, and I also actually really look up to his journey to get there, because this guy went through some horrendous stuff to get to where he was, which was... He was dealing with addiction problems, with cocaine.
Right.
I mean, there's a – read. Go to the New York Times and read his obituary, guys. It's fascinating.
It's truly special. He wrote his memoir is Night of the Gun.
Night of the Gun,
and he
yeah.
reported it out.
Yeah, that's right.
He went back to like people he was dealing drugs to and buying drugs from, and like was like, hey, how was it back then? What was I like?
Oh, God, yeah, because he couldn't really remember. Could he? So,
I think we'd like to have just a little moment of silence, a quick second, if you will.
Yeah, guys, so, you know, this is a little moment of silence here on Meet the Movie Press for David Carr. So, you know, deal with it.
All All right.
Yeah. That's for David Carr. You guys go
see,
on out.
Yeah, see Page One, which is a great documentary about the New York Times, and he's really the star of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of video of this man online, you know, when he talks about Google, David Carr, my first big break. That's a great story.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing to see the outpouring of support last night on Twitter from all these other journalists.
Yeah, and so it was a heart attack, wasn't it?
I haven't seen the cause of death listed yet.
Yeah, it's he collapsed, so I think
and
we're
he just led a moderated like a Citizen 4 screening yesterday, which is a great documentary, guys, if you haven't seen that, about Edward Snowden.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, he was, you know, he died at the office doing what he loved, and I think that's how most of us would like to go out. I want to die right here at this desk, Mark.
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to keep Meet the Movie Press going for 50 years.
Yeah.
And then, or 10, or whatever.
So yeah, we'll lighten it up, and to help us do that today, let's bring in,
yes,
Lindsay Barr.
Let's bring in Lindsay Barr.
Woo! Listen to that applause.
Lindsay, get your cans on, because you have some applause from our live studio audience that exists in a console by a button.
I feel so welcome. Thank
yes,
you.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming. Seriously, you have elevated the show now.
Yeah.
We're going downhill from now on after Lindsay.
I would say.
I'm really glad I didn't hear your intro, because that would be like a lot of pressure to live up to.
No pressure.
Know, I just came in right when you introduced me.
Right.
We keep her backstage in the green room.
In the green room.
Full of nuts and berries.
Yep, and the Price is Right studio audience that's my joke that just never goes away and is bad and is very, very
Clang.
Bad. Clang. Thank you. How are you, Lindsay?
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for having me, guys.
So, Lindsay, how long have you been at the Associated Press? You just got there, huh?
Yeah, about 3 months. So,
3 months, and you came over from a very small place called Entertainment Weekly, right?
Yeah, you might have heard of it.
It's very niche.
I am familiar with Entertainment Weekly. They send me magazines.
they are still in the magazine
subscriptions.
Business, yes.
You know what? Thank God. I mean, I do love my Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah.
I grew up reading it. You should see the photos that I have of me surrounded by my Entertainment Weekly collection.
Yeah.
They're pretty erotic, actually.
Really? Okay, nice.
Some of those classic issues are really good, though. Mm-hmm. It's, like, surprising what they covered, because they were kind of the first magazine like that.
Of course. When I got back from Sundance, I picked up their Oscar issue, which is just, like, a must-read.
Absolutely.
It's just so kind of well done. Yeah. So anyways, you're at the AP now.
I am at the AP now.
and so how's that going? What's that like?
It's great. It's a real newsroom. We have this lovely office in downtown LA, and it feels very like 70s, and you feel the history of the AP. There's a lot of books about the mythology of the AP too. I love it.
It feels like the 70s are people like smoking and drinking whiskey. Like,
yeah. I wish. I heard about, you know, they used to be able to smoke indoors there when like the printing presses were like clanging inside there. So it's not quite that, but you know, it's still fun.
That's
okay,
cool.
A lot of history there.
You are one of how many like film reporters there?
There are myself and Jake Coyle in New York, and then we have a couple entertainment writers in LA. So yeah,
okay.
it's a smaller shop than EW, but it's fun.
Nice.
And what kind of stuff are you typically doing over there? Do you do a lot of interviews?
Yes.
I mean, do you like work carpets, go to junkets, like all that kind of stuff?
A lot of that. All of it. And I write film reviews too. So it's a neat dual role of critic and reporter.
Oh, you
so.
Have to wear many hats. Interesting.
Yes, which is fun. And for people who love movies, to be able to do both of that, because I do love movies and I like to think about them, but I also like to figure out how they were made and fit into the world.
They're very unique muscles, and you get to flex both of them.
Yeah.
So what were you doing at Entertainment Weekly?
I was sort of a movies reporter. But you know, it was more of a blog based thing, and EW does all those sort of charts and stats in their magazine. It's just a different type of thing, and then this is for newspapers around the country, which is exciting.
You get a bigger audience now.
Yes,
maybe. So did they poach you? Did they come to you and say, you know what, we got some more money for you?
I don't know if I can really talk about that.
Oh, damn it. I was hoping to break an exclusive.
She's a lady.
Yeah. I don't talk about
manners.
Goodness.
Good. My goodness. How dare you, sir?
From what I heard, it was the full court press.
Nice.
The AP laid on her. But, that's impressive to go from EW to one of the very few places that have a larger readership than EW. EW is huge.
Yeah.
The AP is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
one cool thing I want to say. I got a... I got a clipping from one of my editors in New York of two of my reviews were published on the same page of the Epic Times,
okay.
Which I guess they used to like send clippings out to reporters before, but I haven't seen my name in a you know newspaper yet. So it was kind of fun to see an entire page.
That's
of
pretty
my
cool.
Reviews, so,
that's very cool.
Know.
So well, I imagine that the AP has really high standards. Like you know,
sure.
Obviously we Mark and I deal in rumor and speculation often.
But me more so, I would say. You actually have some facts behind it sometimes.
Just sometimes, though. And, you know, the AP has really high standards. Can you sort of talk to me about that? Like, is it frustrating sometimes if we drop some juicy rumor and you're like, you go to your editors and like, I can't, this isn't confirmable, some of this stuff?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear how you do that more because you do, like, just how you learn to corroborate tips and non-confirmations and things like that, which we can't go on. You know,
sure.
there's just another bar and there's another standard that they meet that's more rigorous than any place that I've worked. So it is, you know, yeah, we don't necessarily do in talks.
Sure. Does that make the job more difficult and more challenging, that high standard of you know, hitting the publish button?
Certainly, and it also just means making choices about what to put out there, too. But, yeah, I don't know when you started getting comfortable with your... Because you're so good. I remember reaching that point where I was like, no, if Jeff reports it's right, and just being able to trust you.
It's like an 87%
you got a good track record. I totally agree. When I'm writing articles for Schmoes, no, I like to really report on the facts as well, even though we do deal in a lot of speculation.
Right.
If he drops it, I'm like, nah. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about this.
I'll keep you guys guessing as to what's completely false.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, we're going to talk about Spider-Man later in the show, guys. I know everyone is chomping at the bit to talk about that.
Yeah,
but
guys.
Before we do, and because we're going to be talking to Kelvin from Latino Review.
Kelvin from Latino Review, guys, is going to be calling in at 9:30 at about 15 minutes, give or take. And they dropped that scoop, but we will get to that.
Right. Now we're going to talk about 50 Shades of Grey, which Lindsay and I saw on Friday night.
Yes, you guys.
It was a beautiful evening.
It really was. Magical.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it a fan event or was it was kind of a fan event?
Take
or?
It away.
Yeah.
I think so. I wasn't exactly sure. I think they might have been contest winners at some point, but it definitely was stacked with a lot of fans and a lot of female fans.
Which was a great environment to see the movie in, I thought.
I wouldn't have wanted to see it in just a critic press screening or anything like
that.
Yeah. I think that would have been
buttoned
a lot
down
less
and
fun.
Boring. Absolutely.
I have to ask, though, with you guys are surrounded by, I guess, fans of the novel who are chomping at the bit to see this. Do you think the producers or the marketing team is like trying to sway your opinion with the fans around you?
Maybe.
But
I mean, maybe.
But I think it's just we had a choice. We chose that screening because it was the first screening offered, the fan event.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you want to review it as early as possible. Was there an embargo on the review?
Yeah, we had an embargo. That got blown that by what? The New York Post or the New York Daily News? It was one of the two.
I think, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, really?
They were just like, you know what? We've seen this movie. It's enough of these embargoes.
Okay.
But they don't, you know, I don't know if they have to really deal with studios like I do at least or, you know, every day.
And so, Lindsay, thoughts? Thoughts on the movie?
Yes.
Because I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be able to kind of interview both of you.
Okay.
And decide whether or not I want to see it.
The next 10 minutes of this show are about to get TVMA or whatever
TVMA.
It is on radio.
Okay, guys, those under 18, earmuffs.
Yes.
Okay. Or if you're 13 in France, you can.
Or 13 in France.
Unbelievable. I saw that recently.
Yeah.
we're actually showing this movie in schools.
Yeah.
Like fucking France.
It's very educational. Now go drink your wine.
Sip their wine, yeah. Obviously.
Okay, so.
Wait. I want to know who's. Have you guys read the book?
No.
God, no.
No.
Okay.
No, we don't read books.
I didn't either.
We read comic books.
So I think that, you know, not reading the book, you come in with a certain amount of expectations.
Sure.
All of those posters are like curious, and you're like, well, yeah, certainly I'm curious. I don't know. This sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't think that it was that hot.
Yeah.
Basically, like that's sort of my thesis. So from there, I had to figure out how else the movie was working or not working. Yeah. And I just thought it was cheesy. I thought the story was ridiculous. It was just about a contract negotiation between this, like, virginal, you know, not virginal anymore, college student, and this kind of crazy billionaire guy who I honestly don't understand why he's so into her and why he would even waste his time bothering with, you know,
yeah,
all of her, like, oh, maybe I will sign the contract, maybe I won't. And so it just didn't really work for me at all. It was fun being there with the fans and
sure.
having them scream when Jamie Dornan takes his shirt off or, like, you know, the first time they meet. But I just didn't feel any of that, like, energy or chemistry in the way that I think some people have.
I think all of that's fair. All of those are valid points. The sex scenes are a bit sterile.
Yeah.
Okay.
I blanked out. Wait, what were the other two points?
I didn't really even buy their, you know, their chemistry together, the fact that they were just super into each other.
I'm hearing that across the board.
Yeah.
Actually. Okay. Yeah. I did my research, read a lot of reviews about this.
Yeah.
I haven't read a positive one.
Oh, I liked it. I definitely liked it.
Well, that's funny because I didn't read yours because I actually wanted to hear your thoughts on the show. Okay. So that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Okay. So. It's not the hottest movie of all time, no. It's a bit of a missed opportunity in that regard. It's kind of an intro to BDSM kind of movie.
Sure.
But I did think that there was some hot stuff in there, or at least hotter than your average Hollywood movie.
Okay.
I thought that they did have some chemistry. It's not supposed to be off-the-charts chemistry, because this guy is very guarded.
Okay.
But I don't know. There was something about it that I kind of appreciate. And yes, there are cheesy lines,
yeah,
you know, the 50 Shades of Fucked Up or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no one could sell that. You'd have to be a great actor to sell that line. And I'm not sure that Jamie Dornan is that. But it was like this sort of tongue-in-cheek cheesiness. It was like a romance novel.
Listen, I think the one bright spot for me was Dakota.
She was good, yeah.
She was good. She was a lot better. I don't know what I was expecting. I liked her in Social Network. I liked her in Ben and Kate? That was the sitcom that she was on? Something like that. Oh, but she has this, yeah, like, deft comedic timing, and she just felt like a person in a movie full of stereotypes and cliches, and she just, like, was relatable, which is what you need Anastasia Steele to be, obviously. And, you know, there's even, like, Christian Grey says to her at one point, they haven't had sex, but they, like, slept in the same bed or something, and he's like, you know, if you were mine, you wouldn't be able to sit right for a week. And yep, she just has
gentleman.
Yeah, she has this, like, yeah, what? Like, that sort of, because their dynamic hadn't been that, and then he drops this, you know, sexual thing in, and she's taken aback, and she plays it really, you know, in a funny way.
Okay. Well, I mean, so I'm surprised you liked it. I'm just catching up with my brain.
She's right, though. Like, the movie is about a contract negotiation. So
that's what I read
a
lot of.
The big thing, like, will she sign the contract or not? But I don't know. After a while, I thought it just became besides the point. There was something interesting about the power dynamics that it explores in the bedroom, okay, because it's not about him changing her, mm-hmm, and turning her into a submissive. It's about her changing him and breaking through this barrier that he's erected.
Okay.
Good choice of words. Do I like that? Okay. So let me talk about the phenomenon of this, because they've already greenlit the sequels before it even debuted. So what are you guys thinking it's going to make this weekend? I'm hearing all sorts of numbers.
Oh, the prediction game?
The prediction game.
Okay.
What is it making this weekend? Does it excel beyond the estimations here? I mean, are we talking 60 million, 70 million, 100 million? What do you guys think?
I'll let you go first, Lindsay.
Oh, great. I think the official line, the official underestimate is 50 million, right?
50 million,
but
yeah.
I would say, what?
50 million.
That's the we won't be embarrassed if it hits this number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So
yeah,
I'm gonna say, I'll say 70. I think 60 is kind of what people have been, you know, safely predicting. But I think it's gonna be bigger than that. I mean, based on last night alone, wasn't it like 8 million for late night showings?
Yep.
That was
yep,
even bigger than Fast and Furious 6.
Crazy 8.
Yeah.
That's mine. 88.
Oh, wow. 88. Wow, really?
88 million.
Holy moly.
I'm thinking Jeff is right here, because
yeah,
here's and it's a delicate topic I'm going to go in here, but like movies for women.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't necessarily want to put that out there because it seems like this is a movie that can, when you say this is a movie for women, I feel like that's degrading to say. However, I know that the primary fan base is women who read this book. So are they going to come out in droves?
Absolutely.
That's what I think,
okay.
too.
Okay, single women are going to go see this with their single gal pals.
Yep.
And, you know, women in relationships are going to drag their significant others, I think.
Yep. Drag? I think that, there is a culture-wide curiosity.
Absolutely.
Here.
No, I think there's a bunch of guys who – yeah, I mean, Dakota Johnson's naked, like, this entire movie.
Sure.
Okay.
Like, it's definitely a reason to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the possibility, I think what people are hoping is for this to turn into like a Showgirls Magic Mike cult phenomenon
where you
just go, you have a couple drinks beforehand and just like whoop and holler the whole time.
Right.
Like,
and maybe couples will learn a little thing or two, you know, maybe it'll change.
What? Out of the three times they have sex? Like
three times?
There's not that much sex. There's a lot of foreplay and teasing and kind of circling around each other in this movie, but...
Okay.
There's a lot of drama with her taking off her shirt and like...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like some of it was well done. And like it was shot really well. I liked... The soundtrack was really hot. I was into it.
Damn you, Jeff.
But there was definitely an energy in the room.
I love it. I have... Okay.
And my date looked good.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. So what would you, on a scale of, let's say 1 to 10, what would you give it?
Oh, you know, I guess... Gosh, how does that... I was never good with...
Yeah, or maybe like the four stars.
I gave it a 1.5 out of 4 in my review.
There you go. And what about you, sir?
I got to go like 2.5. Two and a half to almost, it's almost pretty close to that 3 stars.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, out of 4,
yeah,
correct?
Out of 4.
So that's a favorable review.
Yeah, I'd be mixed positive, absolutely.
Okay.
What I wanted was a stronger third character. There's no one else in the cast mm-hmm. who leaves any kind of impression besides these two. If there had been any window, you know, to escape through, like, it definitely would have had that third star for me.
Okay.
It just didn't totally, I wanted it to be camp or... Camp or great, basically,
right.
I guess.
Straddles
and
that
it's
line.
Neither.
Can't make up its mind.
And as you say about the supporting characters, like Marcia Gay Harden plays Christian Grey's mom, and Jennifer Ellie plays Anastasia Steele's mom, and it just, neither of them, they're like non-entities, and they're really good actresses, and it's like they're half playing it in the soap opera-y way, but half not. I don't know. I just, it just never hit the right tone for me. I just think they were trying to have it always.
Okay.
And so what... And I'm not familiar with the source material, and I think you guys haven't read the books, right? So, but the sequels, the sequel books, all the same characters, right? It's still, you know,
and Christian Grey, and you know, I'm sure that they are signed up. There's been some talk about that. I guarantee you they have sequel options.
Yeah, I'm sure they do too. And so, what about something that just occurred to me? Like on the press junkets, they're saying that these two don't like each other. I think I'm going into gossip.
Anytime that you are filming those kind of sex scenes that can be a little embarrassing or whatever, I'm sure it got awkward.
Sure.
Like, I think that would happen to most people, honestly.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I mean, I know as a theater major.
Yeah, being staged in those positions and stuff, yeah. So... You know, I'm not surprised that there's a little tension or friction immediately after the film. You know, maybe by the second movie, these guys have built up a rapport, Jamie and Dakota. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Well, we're going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to happen because I tend to agree with you, Jeff. I think we're getting an 88 million opening or thereabout.
I think it's
going to
be over
80.
88 was just a cute, you know, little button on things. But
sure.
I think it's going to be over 80.
I wouldn't be surprised if it had 100 million. I'm not going to lie. Everybody is talking about this movie. I don't think it's going to.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised. But the 80 million sounds right. And then, but if it does open, maybe it's 60
or 70.
And
for the listeners who don't, want to see 50 Shades of Grey, Kingsman comes out, and that was a lot of fun. Did you see that?
No, not yet.
Okay. You saw it, right?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
No,
yeah.
Kingsman's great.
Yeah. I really want to see it. Like I said, my girlfriend and I are going to go. All right. We're going to switch gears for a little bit, and we're going to get Lindsay's thoughts on it. Guys, we're going to talk Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys heard.
Earth-shattering announcement.
Since my Twitter feed was nothing but Spider-Man on Monday night, and it was an interesting time to drop that news.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. How long until Kel?
We have Kel.
We do. We're good.
On the line from Latina Review, the guy who broke the scoop Latina Review, guys.
And this was like months ago,
this
right?
This was months ago. And you guys know Latina Review. We've had El Miambe on the show. Now I'm so excited to welcome Kel. How you doing, man? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, dude. How are you doing today?
Good, man. It's cold, but, you know, it's good.
Cold? You're calling from New York, right?
Yes. It's very cold out here.
Yeah. Are you snowed in? Are you, like, is there a big snowbank blocking you out from going out to the street?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. Well, thanks for calling in, man. We got Jeff Snyder here, and we got Lindsay Barr from AP. So you're with some good crew here to talk about your big scoop, man. When did you guys drop this exactly?
Well, initially I found out back in November, but I couldn't say anything because it was just fresh.
Okay. Wow, November.
Yeah. And then,
which is about where the rumors are really starting to kick in. I mean, everybody was talking about this for a while.
And then the next thing you know, it was official. Like, you know, in December, they said, it's official, it's done. You know, they're not going to have him back. And, you know, he said, go ahead, run with it. Just, okay. You know, I couldn't say who the source was, but,
right.
You know. And then that's when I ran it. And everybody had a lot of mixed reactions because a lot of people liked Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
I love Andrew Garfield, and I'm a little bummed about that, but we can talk about that later. Keep going, Kel. So you ran this.
And it was funny because when I ran the story, I was like, this is exactly what people are going to be like saying is not true because we ran the same thing when we said Tobey Maguire was not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to reboot it, and then Sony went, and then the spin mode and said that it wasn't true, that was not true. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, now you have two, you know, reboot Spider-Mans. So then, you know,
I know.
I just ran the story and then see what happens. And obviously it happened.
Yeah. So were you maybe going off of your source? Were they maybe involved in, I heard things about a Spidey summit. Now, did Sony go basically to like a log cabin in the woods and turn off the television and tell everybody, figure this out, otherwise you're fired? And Kevin Feige was like in the trees, like with binoculars or something.
That's where Kel is.
Yeah, I know. That was you, Kel.
I was like, get off my tree.
Yeah.
I was actually the guy who was cleaning the desks.
There you go. All right. So, was there any Spidey summit? I mean, is that just BS or what's going on here?
That Spidey summit, I don't know where that came from, but all I know is that, this was like when the whole, Sony hack happened. You know, and they were like, Sony Japan got involved a lot. So they were basically, my source and I, we were talking about it over dinner. And he was like, you know, that they were very upset. And obviously they were going to let go of Amy Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
And but before she left, she had to close that deal.
Okay.
And they were really, really, they were very, very straightforward on that. She needs to close that deal. They were, you know, because this hack thing was like a slap in the face for Japan.
No,
sure.
It made them look really, really bad.
Yeah.
So they needed this to happen. So, and she made it happen. This is before the whole Spidey summit thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Because the Spider-Man stuff, I think, has been in the works for, you know, a few months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and so do you think this was happening for whatever reason? I don't know. This is maybe some speculation. Do you think these talks were happening before the Sony hack or they heated? Yeah, they were. Because the emails, the emails that I just answered my own question. Way to go, Mark. How did you get wind of this? Do you now go after these sources, or you have somebody and you start rumbling?
Or do they come to you?
Do they come to you?
Like,
yeah.
Who paid for that dinner, Kel? You?
Yeah.
Well, I paid for it, but
there you go.
Good.
It was, you know, but it was unexpected. I did not expect to hear that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And those are the types of scoops that I like to get. Like, I didn't see it coming because between you and I,
is that Spider-Man? Future Spider-Man. I hear they're casting somebody very young. Oh, we lost him.
No. So basically, my son is an old friend of mine.
Okay.
Old friend of mine who is now, you know, in the high places.
Right.
So he said, I have something to tell you, but, you know, you can't say nothing until I tell you. So, and then finally he told me, but, you know, a lot of the stuff that he told me was like, you know, off the record. And then, He said, but I am going to tell you something that's on the record. And that's when he told me about the Andrew Garfield, that he wasn't going to come back, that basically Sony did not want anything to do with the previous Spider-Mans, including Sam Raimi's. I was just shocked that he said the Sam Raimi part as well.
Yeah.
They don't, and that's the reason they don't want Andrew Garfield. Because if you bring Andrew Garfield, it still is going to remind them of the old past.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It,
so,
it needs a radical reinvention over there.
And then they're tired of the whole romance being the centerpiece of the whole thing.
Yep.
So now they're just going to focus on a teenager who has superpowers and, you know, is trying to handle it.
Which is, you know, that's the source. That's where you go. I mean, that's my favorite. Besides Superman, Spidey is my second favorite because I love him dealing with his spider powers and being, you know, basically a poor kid. From Queens, running around, trying to deal with school, getting to work on time, what have you. It's just, it's so interesting. And they haven't nailed them yet.
Lindsay, what did you make of the deal?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I just don't want to see him get bit by the spider.
Does it mean a lot to you that we're going to get Spider-Man in an MCU movie?
No. I mean, maybe. I don't know. No, it doesn't. No, I don't know. He'll just pop up like someone else, you know, like Hawkeye, and just be gone. Like, he's not going to be an integral part of any of those movies, is he?
Okay.
Do you think?
You don't know. I mean, Cal, let's talk about that. Let's get into some of the rumors that I guess are out there, whether or not we're going to see... I mean, obviously, we're going to see Spider-Man in a MCU movie.
And then Spider-Man is going to be high school age.
Spider-Man's going to be high school age.
That's been confirmed.
What else can you tell us, Kel, you're hearing?
You guys reported that it's going to be Peter Parker for sure, huh?
Yeah, that's basically what my source told me. It was going to be Peter Parker, that they were trying to put him in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, when I – this is back in December, at that time, he was the script was already nailed down for Civil War, so they didn't have him in it just yet. And then when I think a month later, he said that they were gonna introduce him in Infinity War.
They're gonna introduce him in Infinity War. Okay,
that's how they were gonna do it. I mean, that's the last I heard. Maybe they could put him back in Civil War.
I think he's definitely in Civil War.
I do too. Yeah, because now they're saying, and this is according to Sony and Marvel themselves in the press release, saying they're going to put him in a movie and then launch his own movie in 2017. So if we look at 2016, we have Civil War and Doctor Strange.
Yeah, those are really the only options, exactly, because you correct it right there. It's not going to be Infinity War.
No, it'd be interesting to put him in Doctor Strange. I mean, it could happen.
I think it would be really interesting for that, too. Like, I don't know why Captain America Civil War needs him other than, like, he plays an important role.
From the comic books,
if you were going to get away with doing that movie without him at one point, why not just, you know, use him to launch someone like Strange, who may be a little bit more challenging?
Yeah, it could be fun. I mean, and we're talking, you know, I've heard everything from, like, just a cameo to, like, 15 minutes to... maybe a tag at the end.
I think it'll be more than a tag. You know.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But remember, they had two scripts from what I heard on Civil War.
That's what I heard too.
Yes,
that's what I heard.
One with him and one without him.
Which is why I think it's definitely going to be Civil War. He also just doesn't really fit in the Doctor Strange universe. Spider-Man. It would kind of be like a cheap trick. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Civil War is the one.
Yeah, and so Cal, you're not hearing one way or the other. Right now, that it's Civil War or not?
No. That the last I heard was, you know, that they were trying to put him into Civil War. But when I reached out to people that I know who are attached to Civil War, they said that they, at that moment, they didn't, because they already had a script nailed.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And that they weren't going with him. But at that time, also, you know, they didn't know that it was a done deal.
Okay.
You know, so it could go back to Civil War for what I know.
Okay. Now, as far as casting goes, like, there's been a lot of speculation about young, handsome white guys like Dylan O'Brien and Logan Lerman. Guys who can play high school age. I just have a feeling that it's going to be an actor of color. I think that whether it's Miles Morales or a black Peter Parker, I think that those emails left a black eye for Sony. You know, they were accused of being racist. I came on the show and said, I don't think that Amy Pascal is racist at all, but I do think that Sony may be looking to, I don't know, just change the, it's that perception that, that exists in some corners. And I think if they're going to cast an actor of color.
And I want to get your opinion on this and, Lindsay as well. And Kel, as a comic book geek, I'm going to out myself. Peter Parker, if you have fans clamoring for a Miles Morales story, my argument to you, Jeff, is like, why cast a black actor to play Peter Parker when there's already a character of color in Miles Morales? So, Lindsay, what would you say? Would you like to see – I know you, you don't seem to be a big Spider-Man fan of the comics, but you're a movie fan. So would you love to see a person of color take on – who cares about the character? Just Spider-Man.
Yeah, certainly. Of course. Why not? Like, why has it been relegated to this, this trope, this just standard, oh, yes, of course it's going to be a white guy. I think that's ridiculous. And as soon as we start making those assumptions, we should break them open and challenge them.
Thank you. I totally agree,
well
too.
Well said.
Yeah, I totally agree. I would have no problem with Peter Parker actually being a person of color. It wouldn't bother me. However, I know the internet would go crazy. I think it would break.
Screw the internet.
Yeah.
I agree. Kel, what about you? What are your thoughts? Would you actually want Peter Parker and, let's say, Logan Lerman, or would you actually hope for a Miles Morales story?
You know what? I am tired of Peter Parker. I wouldn't mind seeing Miles Morales, but, you know, like you said, those fanboys are going to go nuts, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing somebody like, what is it, a Glover playing
Miles Morales?
Yeah, Miles Morales.
But Donald Glover is 31 years old and cannot pass for high school.
Oh, he just can't.
And
fresh
just throwing
young.
It out there, I wouldn't mind seeing Zac Efron playing Peter Parker.
I wouldn't
he's
either.
20, he's 27 years old, you know, so.
I wouldn't mind it either. I think it's, like, that's a good call. But I brought that up at the office and there were, like, howls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, no.
Did nobody see Maze Runner? Dylan O'Brien is great.
Yeah, he is good. And so is Logan Lerman. I mean, yes. I think they're all good.
They are all good, but I'm just tired of, like, this kind of vanilla, sarcastic...
You know what I'm...
Yeah. I don't know.
Logan Lerner was... he lost out on Spider-Man to Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and, like, Josh Hutcherson, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh. So,
these are just, like, little guys that I'm not...
I still have that videotape. I still have that auction tape.
Yeah.
Oh, do you? Nice.
I just wouldn't be... afraid of these guys. I don't know. Like, I'd like to see someone with a different physique or something.
I am going to
look like Tobey Maguire.
I'm probably going to. I'm not going to remember this tweet that I saw, but somebody kind of made a brilliant point that I actually really like, and that's you introduce Peter Parker in a cameo sort of role in Civil War, and then you follow the ultimate storyline when Peter Parker dies. The spinoff becomes Miles Morales. I love that idea.
That's pretty cool.
That is probably the best idea I've heard on how you can actually inject some originality and creativity into this.
So then you're talking about casting two Spider-Men.
Two Spider-Mens. You get Peter Parker, and I don't know who it is, you know? Let's say Logan Lerman.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
Civil War comes out.
My mind.
Yeah, Civil War comes out.
Spider-Man dies.
Spider-Man comes out, in the comics. He reveals himself as Peter Parker, and then shit goes bad. You know, and he dies, he dies in a different way in the comics, not through the Civil War.
I remember a long time ago when I interviewed Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
His ultimate dream, because he was Kingpin for Daredevil.
Yeah.
And I think I interviewed him for that. And his ultimate dream was to see Spider-Man versus Daredevil.
Oh.
And now that they're both in the same universe, who knows? That would be awesome.
But he's only... He is, you know, the press release did say he's only in the universe for one movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. What?
Well, I thought they were going to put some Marvel.
Yes, that is one thing.
Their Sonys.
Yeah,
right?
That is one thing that has gone overlooked by most people.
Okay.
Is that yes, the MC Marvel could be sharing some of its. I think that they're not going to be like the marquee names at all, but I think some of maybe of its.
Agent Coulson from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to show up in a Sony movie.
More
Kobe Smulders.
Kobe Smulders, thank you.
Knowing Sony, he could be in Men in Black, Agent Coulson.
I mean, I think the obvious character is Nick Fury. I think Nick Fury could very well, because Sam Jackson does not sleep. He's a robot and actually works 24/7. Yeah, that, I mean, that would be interesting. But that's my take, and I would love to see that as well, Kel. Daredevil is another favorite of mine. So,
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they have like a scene with a building with Oscorp in the Avengers, and they took it out?
Yeah, there was talk about that.
So you can tell that they've been talking about this Spider-Man thing for a while already.
That's a good point, Kel. If you really want to, yeah, this was now we're talking about the Amazing Spider-Man, not Part Two. We're talking about the Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah, so that's very interesting. So they probably have been talking about it, and I think probably Amazing Spider-Man 2 was the straw that broke the camel's back, because everybody, including myself, thought it was a, you know, pile of dog farts. So,
and let's talk about the producers really quickly.
Yes.
And that whole situation. So Amy Pascal gets gifted this golden parachute, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Where she's going to now be the producer of the Spider-Man movies, the new ones, even though she helped drive the franchise basically into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Though she did launch it, you know, sure. to you know, those first two movies were excellent.
Yeah, they were. Spider-Man 2 is one of my favorite superhero movies. So
now she's going to be working with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how invested is Kevin really? Because he is going to be caring more about like what Marvel's doing. Like, I'm just struggling to see why he would really care, especially once he has already gotten use of Spider-Man.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like he's getting his part of the deal first. Why should he?
Yeah. And Lindsay, since you're a fan of making movies and like the integral parts of this, like, sure. How, what do you, can this actually blow up in the fans' faces? Like, can Feige go in there and start fighting with Pascal, and we get an even worse version of Spider-Man than we've had before?
I can't imagine anything worse.
I think it just is what Jeff said. I think it just depends on how much he cares and what director they're going to bring in, and whether he's going to like toe the Marvel line or kind of do his own thing. Like Sam Raimi was sort of able to, right?
Because whoever comes in there is going to be dealing with the same regime.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amy's not in charge of the studio, but now she's the lead producer on it.
Right.
It's just like not much has really changed. Yes, Arad and Matt Tomac are out of the creative picture, so to speak. They're still executive producers on it. I mean,
yeah. Kel, what's your thought process behind that? Do you think Amy's going to have a lot of say, or is Kevin? Because my thought was that creatively, I know Sony has the final say, which is probably Amy. Now, what I'm thinking is, by the time that final creative say happens, Kevin Feige has delivered a fantastic product. I'm hoping so. Yeah, Kel, thoughts?
I mean, Kevin. I don't know exactly what you were saying. Don't know how much of involvement he'll be in it, because how much involvement is he in the other Marvel products that are out there for Fox? You know what I mean?
Right.
How much involved is he in X-Men? Those movies are pretty damn good, the X-Men films.
He doesn't have like credits on those, does he? Not as lead producer.
No, he's like an EP, I would say, on those.
He has to be involved somehow. But,
maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I think Amy has, like what you were saying, Sony has the final say at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then again, with Avi Arad, all he has to do is shut up and sit in the corner with a dunce cap and get paid.
Exactly.
Right. Let's just hope that he actually sticks to that function.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. Well done on the scoop, by the way. You know, as always.
Yeah, take some cojones to drop that one. Not going to lie.
Yeah. Marvel must have been like, no! Well, okay. Shoot.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I know, you know, Mayimbe, of course, has come on here, and I'm so happy to have you guys, Latina Review, as you guys know, out there and meet the movie press land. Go visit Latina Review. And Kel, thanks for calling in. Where can the good people find you on Twitter and all the other places?
Well, on Twitter, I'm Latina Review, and that's basically where mostly I'm at.
Okay, perfect. Well, Kel, thanks again, man,
thank
for
you.
Calling
thanks
in.
Thanks for coming on, Kel. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Thanks.
All
right, that was Kel from Latina Review, at Latina Review, dropping major scoops there with that one.
So to recap, though, yeah. if you could cast Spider-Man, you're going with Dylan O'Brien or who?
Well, no, I'd like to see like an out-of-the-box choice. So,
okay.
Yeah, but I just don't. I didn't come in with a casting list.
Got it.
I don't think Dylan O'Brien would do a bad job. I think he's really great, and I think he sort of has a Harrison Ford manicness to him. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Mark, what about you?
What, for casting?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I have all these jumbled thoughts now about my Miles Morales, Peter Parker dying, and Miles Morales coming
right.
in.
He's storyboarding.
I'm
right now.
Storyboarding yeah, in my head. Sometimes I'm a writer first, and a presser later. I think if I were to cast it, if they're gonna like put a gun to my head and said, no, Peter Parker's white and he's got to be young and he's got to do this, I'd go Logan Lerman. I dig him a lot. I think he could play Spider-Man really well. Also, if I had the gun turned around, I would say keep Andrew Garfield. To be honest with you, I just love him. But you know,
I'm sticking with the Dev Patel call from 2 weeks ago. I would love to have Spider-Man swing around New York, land on a skyscraper, take off his mask, and it's Dev Patel.
That's a good call. I would go with that too.
I like that.
All right. Well, we gotta wrap it up somewhat here. Is there anything that you guys? That something that broke this week that you guys maybe want to talk about? Well, how about this, Lindsay? What are you working on right now in the AP world? Are you reviewing more movies what is that? Do you review more? Do you do special articles? You don't work in scoops. Is that correct?
We dabble in, you know, breaking news too.
Okay. But not casting stuff.
But not necessarily unless it's like an iconic,
got it.
Huge role. But, Oscars, man.
That's right.
It's got a lot of,
What are you rooting for? Like, do you know what you're doing on Oscar night yet?
Yeah.
I'll be in the press room. Anybody joining me there?
No. I don't think I am. I think we're sending somebody else. So you're gonna have you ever been there before?
I've done the carpet. I've sat in the room. I've actually
got the paddles and everything.
The press room before the paddles.
Wait, you've never sat in the press room before?
Not
is that what you're
in the
saying?
Press room. I've been in the audience.
That's how it works. You raise a paddle with a number on it, and then the person calls on
you. Very civil. Okay. Mm. I like press room. I think you can like see some cool interactions between people. And I don't know. Do you guys have predictions for Oscars?
I don't know.
It's getting so close to call. I have no idea between Birdman and Boyhood.
Yeah.
With American Sniper playing the spoiler.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Which is so weird that like the race just change on a dime.
Yeah.
Do you think the American Sniper has anything to do with the box office and the controversy for kind of getting pushed into the
people like the winner? People like what's popular.
Yep. I agree too. I'm rooting for Birdman, to be honest with you, even though I love Boyhood and I really just, I watched Birdman again like a few nights ago and it's just like, I just love it.
Yeah.
I think Michael Keaton has a good shot at grabbing it. I think Boyhood will get maybe best director and best supporting actress.
It could just go totally either way. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a split between picture and director.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
Yeah.
I just hope there's a 7-way vote split and Selma wins somehow.
That would be great. That would be great.
Don't you want unpredictability though that night?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I cried when Saving Private Ryan lost. Oh. I was a little young and irrational then. But, I don't know. It's fun.
And I screamed and cursed when Crash won.
I'm just looking forward to the fashion and what everybody's wearing.
I know. What you wearing?
What else? House of Cards. Can't wait for that to start. I don't know.
Did you watch the leaks?
I didn't. I wasn't. I didn't jump on that in time.
By the time I turned up my Netflix on, they had already yanked it. I don't know. Let me ask your thoughts, Lindsay. Was that a big publicity stunt? On Netflix part, do you think somebody said, "Well done, like masterful stroke of publicity"?
Why would they need extra publicity?
Thank you.
That?
Yeah. That's what I said.
That's a ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah, I think that guys, you're going to watch this whether it leaks 2 weeks early or not. Yeah. I mean, and you don't need to leak it 2 weeks early and go, "Oh, now I'm going to watch it even more." No. Yeah. So, all right, we got to wrap it up here, Lindsay. Where can the good people find you out there at Associated Press? I know, but what's your Twitter handle?
LDBar, BAHR.
All right. LDBar. Go ahead and follow Lindsay. She classed this joint up. Thank you so much for joining us. And we got to have you come back again.
Anytime. You're more than welcome,
thanks.
Lindsay.
Yeah. And Jeff, I hope you have a good weekend.
At the Inn, Snyder. Don't be a stranger.
And of course, I am at Riley Around. You can find me there on Twitter and every day on schmozno.com. And guys, sorry we didn't do a hopeful news break. We kind of just blew past it. Because we were talking Spidey, but we'll do it next week, so don't worry. And go ahead and like that Facebook page, Meet the Movie Press, and go ahead and subscribe, rate, and comment. Like I said, keeps the lights on here. And we'll see you next week, guys.
Have a steamy 50 Shades weekend.
Woohoo!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.